How many of you in here this morning have let your face know that you're saved? You know, I look around at this time of the year, and I see a lot of these trees, they burst forth at this time of the year, and their leaves are almost a blood red. Don't that remind you of something? That it's the blood, folks, that brings forth that new life, that bursts forth into new life. And that's what we see taking place around us. There is a regeneration for those that are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for it. So thank God for the gift of salvation. Thank God that He lets us come to church. So He has been so very, very good to us. I really enjoyed Brother Edwards' sermon on idols. When he preached that sermon on the idols, that sermon gave me a lot to think about for a few days, and as it should all of us, because I believe that our biggest idols are ourselves. So we don't. None of us lack self-esteem. I mean, some of us may pretend that we do. We may be. It's hard to be humble when you're so great. You know, that may be the attitude that a lot of people have, and there is a false humility. But I thank God that He's in control. Regardless of what I may think or what goes on, He's still in control. So, I'm going to get back into this thing on Israel, the Palestinians, and the church in just a few minutes. But I do want to make a few comments on some current events, if you will. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's where we are today, isn't it? And what does the book of Romans chapter 1 say about the imaginations, the vain imaginations of men and women? Where do they end up at? If you follow that long list of things that are given in Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, they result in conduct that is a denial of God through and through. And our society, folks, is rotten to its very core. How many of you know that Laura Bush was both pro-abortion and also pro-gay marriage? How many of you knew that? I didn't know it until this morning, Brother Jeff. Did not know it. Yeah, it is in the book that she wrote a few years ago. But President George W. Bush is... daughter, Barbara, is holding a fundraising event for Planned Parenthood out in Texas. And I read an article on that this morning off of Sermon Audio. I go and read a lot of articles off of Sermon Audio because you get some articles there that you won't see anywhere else and links to them. And in that article, it linked to an interview that Laura Bush had with ABC News in 2010. And not only did I not know that, but there was a huge disagreement between her and George W. Bush over the issue of abortion and gay marriage. I didn't know that, but there was division in that home over that very issue. But she kept her mouth shut out of respect for the office of the presidency that her husband was in at the current time. And go ahead, Brother Jeff. Yes, 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 it is. And that's when I said George W. Bush and Laura Bush's daughter, Barbara. It's Barbara Pierce Bush is who it is that's involved in it. And they're big promoters of it. And y'all have heard me say it time and time again when I'm up here. It's not about the party. It's not about Republicans. It's not about Democrats. We have people on the wrong side of issues, the extreme wrong side of the issues in both political parties. And it's showing up more and more. And the only difference between what now is a Democrat and a Republican may be some of the way that they approach some issues, but on most of the social issues, they are starting to line up, where Democrats and Republicans are on the same. The only place that they differ in mostly is how they go about running the economy, the money side of it. But the rest of it, folks, we're in serious trouble. Back, I think it's probably been maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago now, I hit on the subject of the transgender agenda again. At that time, before I taught that thing, I told my wife, I said, there's going to come a time when they're going to be advocating for a right to public nudity to follow behind this transgender thing. And lo, off of Sermon Audio this week, and I'll be brief, fairly brief with this anyhow. Fort Collins, Colorado. A federal judge has ordered the city of Fort Collins to stop enforcing a policy that bans women from being topless in public. It started with one woman asking, if men can go topless, why can't women? Good question, folks. I'm gonna show you how old-fashioned I am right now. I don't think that men ought to be running around in public without shirts on either. Period. End of sentence. The Bible speaks against the display of nakedness both for men and for women. A lot of men get into pulpits and get behind lecterns and they go after the women, but when you see them out in their yard somewhere cutting grass or something, they're running around without a shirt on. And that's not pretty. That's right, sister. It's not pretty. It's not just that it's not pretty, but it's ungodly. And here's the way I am about that particular issue. I'm so sensitive about it that I would not even dare take my shirt off in front of one of my daughters. That's how strongly I believe about that issue. I believe that it's wrong, and she makes a valid point here. If you're going to allow the men to do it, it's still wicked, folks. If you're going to allow the men to do it, then why can't the women? Think about that, men. Think about your personal dress. It is your duty to dress right before your family and before God and before other people that know that you're a Christian. It's your duty to do that. And need I say anything about the women? Same issue. The Bible addresses both, but we avoid the passages that deal with it a lot of times. It's there. She goes on to say here, it's sexist because it specifically discriminates against females. This woman's name was Brittany Hoagland. Called her out by name. Hoagland and some girl named Samantha Six and an unnamed group. I edited the name out because the name of it's unclean. Made headlines across the country when they protested in the corner of College, on the corner of College Avenue and Mulberry Street without any clothes on. The Fort Collins City Council asked for public input but ended up voting to keep the topless ban for women in place. After the decision, Hoagland, this woman named Samantha, and the unnamed group filed a civil lawsuit against the city, claiming the policy violates the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Can you see how they're using the Constitution to destroy Christian values? Do you think that the framers of the Constitution intended that when they wrote it? They did not. On Wednesday, federal judge R. Brooke Jackson ordered an injunction preventing police and the city from enforcing the ban. The court essentially agreed that any statute containing the concept that women are prohibited from is likely unconstitutional, Attorney David Lane said in a statement. In his ruling, Jackson, that this federal judge, disagreed with the argument that topless females might distract drivers and cause traffic issues that disrupt public order. Folks, that's insanity. He must be out of his mind to think that it's not going to affect the drivers. That's folks, insanity is a form of devil possession. And that's not something that's received well by a lot of people. But what about the maniac of Gadara that had the demons cast out of him, and he was found in his right mind at the feet of Jesus? Now, not all mental problems are in that area, okay? But we have a lot of things that we call mental diseases that are nothing more than devil possession. Okay? He goes on to say here, it appears that the underlying Fort Collins belief that topless females are uniquely disruptive of public order is a, listen to this, psychobabble, is a negative stereotype. You see where they're going with it? It's a negative stereotype that society considers female body parts primarily as objects of desire, whereas male body parts are not. You see this gobbledygook that's in this decision that come out from this court. And they're vain in their imaginations, folks. There's nothing that they will not take and twist to fulfill their agenda. And here's a further statement from him to show you the psychobabble that's involved in it. The judge cited a researcher that sexual objectification, that's a hard word for me to pronounce, of the female leads to negative cognitive, behavioral, and emotional outcomes and contributes to higher rates, listen to the insanity of this, of sexual assault and violence. Do they not think that women running around in public naked is not going to lead to higher rates of sexual assault and violence? How insane have we become, folks? How wicked have we become? And these people can't even blush anymore when they do stuff like this. It doesn't even bother them. Folks, we're in such serious trouble. And it goes on here to say that the judge also disagreed with the argument that seeing a naked adult female could harm children. He addressed that in his decision. Nor has Fort Collins provided any meaningful evidence that the mere sight of a naked adult female endangers children. The naked adult female, after all, is one of the first things a child sees. Judge Jackson wrote that. It seems, then, that children do not need to be protected from naked adult females itself, but from the negative, here's the psychobabble again, societal norms, expectations, and stereotypes associated with it. Do you know what a societal norm is? It is dictated by the morals of that society. And if that society has forsaken the God of the Bible, we keep moving that landmark further and further from what the Bible says to that which society wants. Not what God wants, but what we want. It's what we all want. when we start talking about all of this stuff, where is it going to end up at, folks? We're now advocating public nudity. The transgender issue is really, in my viewpoint, is a issue of failure to protect children, specifically little girls, from pedophilia, from child molestation. That's my viewpoint. But they have the American Psychiatric Association has classified pedophilia as a psychiatric disorder. Do you know where it goes from there? I'll tell you where it goes at. The next thing is that you're not going to be able to prosecute them for it because it's a psychiatric disorder. That is the same tactic that they used to get sodomy legalized in the United States of America. And then this week, did any of you see the controversy that came up over the sign that was posted off of Interstate 40 around Winston-Salem, North Carolina? This sign said, real men provide, real women appreciate it. Did you see that? And did you see the cycle, all the psychobabble that was written on that? Folks, that is a biblical principle. It is a biblical principle. I don't care how much of a feminist somebody says they are. If they don't have respect for that, they've got a serious issue. Now, one of President Trump's advisors, Kellyanne Conway, said that social feminism, feminism is an assault upon men and promotes abortion. That's what she said. She made that comment this week. And folks, I have to agree with her. And did y'all know that Franklin Graham has, they're trying to get him banned from a, I guess it's one of those crusades that they're supposed to have up in Toronto. Did y'all know that? I don't agree with a lot of the things that Franklin Graham does. But you notice he's come under severe attack because what it was about this week was his stand against sodomy and his stand against the Muslims. That's why they went after Franklin Graham. And we're going to see more of that, folks. They have found the enemy, and it's you. You are the enemy. But the real enemy is not us. The real enemy is God. That's their enmity. They are at enmity with God because they're lost and dying on their way to hell. And you know what the big part about the church is today? The church is becoming more and more of a gateway to hell, if you will. And why? Because they're bringing in lost sinners and they're putting out the doctrines of devils to them. And when they do that, they make them twofold more a child of hell than what they were to start with. They will not. We had a little discussion around here last night about repentance. They don't preach repentance. And in fact, they attack repentance, the teaching of repentance, the preaching of repentance, as being a heresy and a false doctrine. I want to tell you this. If you haven't repented, you are not saved. If you have not repented, you're still on your way to hell. That's as simple as I can put it. And if you get up in a pulpit or get behind a lectern where you're teaching it and you deny that doctrine, then you're denying both John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, and a number of other passages of Scripture, a number of the men in the Bible that have written books in the Bible. Repentance is a biblical doctrine. And folks, I'll tell you this, repentance is not a work of your flesh. You will not be able to repent unless God the Holy Ghost is doing the work. And really, to me, a lot of times repentance is more of a fruit of salvation. It's an evidence, if you will, of salvation. If you repented, it's going to show up. It's going to show up on your face. It's going to show up in your lifestyle. And people are going to see it. Your family is going to see it. They'll notice the difference. They've noticed a difference with my brother Charles, and I wish y'all would pray for him. I've made this statement about him a number of times, that if you don't want to talk about Jesus, you better not bring his name up. Because that's the way he is, and that has affected his relationships with his family, where it's reached the point where they no longer want to hear it. And what that has done is that has put him into a state of depression, and he needs prayer. He needs encouragement. His family loves him. But folks, the gospel divides. It'll put father against mother. It'll put children against children, children against their parents. That's what it does. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. So we need to make sure that we do our dead level best to put the gospel out there to our family. Don't just talk about it, folks. Live it. If you live it, they'll see it and they'll want it. They really will. They'll see the change. You won't have to tell them. They'll see it. And you see some things going on in a lot of Christian households. where they'll sit around and they'll watch anything on television. You can go into a home and they'll tell you that they believe in God. They believe in God. And you'll see stuff pop up there. Not only is it filthy in the flesh, it's spiritually filthy. Promoting the occult. The television is full of stuff promoting the occult. Most of your science fiction stuff that you have is promoting the occult. And a lot of folks don't like to hear that. In fact, in the past, I've had pastors that would tell me not to preach or teach against the television. Television's wicked, folks. Can it be used for good? Yes, it can. But does it most of the time? No, it doesn't. And I've tried to kind of, if you will, compromise with that thing sometimes in the past, and I no longer do it. I'm just not going to do it. Television will destroy your relationship with God if it's not handled in the right way that it should be handled. Your cell phone will destroy your relationship, with not your relationship, your fellowship. Let me make plain about that. Will destroy your fellowship with God. Your television will do it. Your computer will do it. Your cell phone will do it. And need I say that your music will also do it. Very important. Sister Dawn. Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it. But it isn't funny, is it? But that's exactly it. If you don't want your children watching something, then that runs an instant red flag up for me. Maybe I ought not be watching it either. Sister Mary. Yes. But the battle takes place in your mind, doesn't it? It is in your mind that the battle for your Christianity takes place at. Brother Rick Williams, I don't know, it's probably been at least 20 years ago. I heard Brother Rick Williams preach a sermon on the battle takes place in the mind of the Christian, and I never forgot it. Because that is where it takes place at, folks. And many times the Bible equates your mind with your heart, doesn't it? So how we live is very, very important. What we put in front of our children is very, very important. And Sister Dawn said, Sister. Amen. Right. It is important what you men do before your children. It'll start with your wife, first of all. It's important what you do before her. But it's really, really important what you do before your children. Dawn said it a minute ago. If you're going to tell your children not to smoke, and then you're going to pop one in your mouth. No, you know what that is, folks? Hypocrisy. That's what it is. Folks don't like to hear it, but it is. Folks, we need to take God serious on what he says. The one of the subjects we've been hitting here this morning is about how men dress. There is a standard in the Word of God for men. Men are not to run around naked either and nude. And God's standard, you go and read the standard for yourself, what God says about it. What God gives a standard for the priest in the Old Testament. Go and read it. Go read it. And then you, if you have any disagreement, it won't be with me. It'll be with your Bible. And for you ladies, if you have a disagreement with something that I read straight out of the Scriptures on the mode of dress that you have, go and read what the Bible says. And then if you want to fight it out, you're not going to fight with me. You're fighting with the Holy Ghost. You're fighting with the Bible. He's the author of the Bible. So I can't stand up here and tell man or woman, say, you better dress like this. Because when you do that, you have run around. It's an issue of the heart, folks. It's not an issue of being legalistic. It is an issue of the heart. And by the way, it's not legalistic to expect a Christian, men and women, to dress right. That's not legalism. That's scriptural. So, and I realize that's old-fashioned, folks. And I am a doctrinal dinosaur. Go ahead, sis. Oh, yes. Exactly. Right. And that's an issue for women today. Especially those that claim to be feminist. It is. It's a very strong issue. And when the Bible says that a woman shall not usurp authority over a man or teach a man, women today in our independent Baptist churches have a serious problem with that. And when they have it, folks, I mean, you can get mad with me, you can get upset with me all you want to, but when the Bible says it, I'm not going to try to push it on you. Amen. I'm not going to, because it's an issue of the heart, once again. When the Bible says it, your disagreement is going to be with God, the Holy Ghost, and the Scriptures. And I'll tell you what happens with a lot of pastors, and has for years. They try to have biblical standards, and when they do, both men and women come after them to try to hammer, I call it the fist of wickedness. They're trying to hammer that preacher and that pastor down that's preaching and teaching the Word of God. And Isaiah talks about the fist of wickedness. And Satan uses that to try to drive you away from God, to drive a wedge between you and the fellowship that you have with God. But if I have to try to force it on you, then there's something major wrong there to start with. Really wrong. And you men, your heart needs to be right with God first. You are the leader in your home. And we are the priest in your home too. Yeah. And that's the thing that now, we can laugh about that if we want to, but that's why I tell you men, your heart must be right with God. Your relationship must be right with God. Your attitude must be right with God. Because if it is, you're going to treat that wife that you have much better than she would be treated in Islam, in any unsaved environment. That woman is going to be in a position where God said to put her. And that's the simple matter of the fact. If you're a man and you're going to be a dictator, you're not dealing with the heart. You're not dealing with the heart. And that's one of the biggest issues. And we've spent almost the whole Sunday school class talking about this. And it's a good thing that we talk about it. Yeah. It's what? It's a matter of the heart. It's not the letter of the law will dictate that a preacher or a teacher stands up and constantly beats on that thing about the dress code or about some other standard, about what you watch on TV. That's what the legal side of it will do. And what that also leads to is lost folks coming into independent Baptist churches many times, and the preachers and the members within that church riding them about not being dressed right. Folks, you cannot expect a lost person to be dressed right. You cannot do that. And if you do that, then you're going to generate disunity. Yeah, it's not of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Right. And I'm not the Holy Ghost, folks. Amen. But I can stand up here and tell you what the Holy Ghost has said. Amen. And if I read it out of that book, folks, the Holy Ghost said it. Right. I didn't say it. I believe it, but it really don't matter whether I believe it or not. It's the book. Hey, sis. Mm-hmm. Yep. She's exactly right. And that's the same thing applies to you men too. She says that women that talk about the lusting problem, if they'll just turn around and look in the mirror, they will see why men do that. Brother Aubrey. Yes.
What it is. And he was quoting Romans 8:1.
That is the message. And what does condemnation result from? Being convicted. Being guilty. That's what it results from. And folks, if you're under the law, unsaved, if you're unsaved and under the law, and you are, if you're unsaved, then you're under the condemnation of the law. If you've been saved, you're no longer under the condemnation of the law. Your conduct is then not a condition of your relationship with God, but your fellowship with God. Difference between relationship and fellowship. And if your fellowship is not right, then you need to get your heart right with God. Because the Holy Ghost is going to convict you. And, yeah, you cannot tell me that if you're sitting down watching a television program and all of a sudden nudity flashes across that screen, you cannot tell me that the Holy Ghost, if you're saved, does not deal with you about that. And you are under the condemnation, your own. You condemn your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ when you do stuff like that. But if you're saved, you're not under the condemnation of the law any longer. But there are some things that you can do in your lives that will grieve the Holy Ghost of God. You have to remember that you are always, 24 hours a day, anytime you're around anybody, and really when you're by yourself too, you are an ambassador. You never know when somebody's looking at you. Yeah. We kind of laugh about that stuff, but what when we as Christians make, what does the Bible say about making a mock of sin? How many times? I'm guilty, okay? How many times have you ignored that and just walked away from it? Folks, those are things that we ought not to do. Not only does it hinder your personal relationship, if it's something you routinely do, then there is sin in the camp. And when there's sin in the camp, you're not just hindering yourself. You're hindering your spouse, your children, your church. You're hindering your pastor when he gets up here to declare the Word of God. We need, as much as possible, to live holy lives. Now, there are some things that every once in a while we'll do and we'll slip up. And what we need to do is repent of that, confess it, and then try our dead level best not to do it again. Because as long as we are in this flesh, folks, we're going to have a battle. I have it. And folks, it's not just an occasional thing. I have it all the time. I find out a lot of times I'm more often in Romans chapter 7 than what I want to be. And what is Romans 7? You look at the battle that the Apostle Paul had with himself in Romans chapter 7, and who are you to expect that it would be any different for you? But the key in all of it is, how do we respond to that? Are we yielding to the Holy Ghost? That's the most important thing in our Christian lives we can do, is to yield to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will change you, folks. He'll change your conduct. He'll change your attitudes too, men. How about it? Does your face know that you're saved? Does your Christianity know that you're saved? Where is your heart at with God? You, folks, you can be saved and live like the devil. And if you don't believe, go and read 1 Corinthians. Look at the mess that that church was in. And all and there was some gross, abominable sexual sin going on in that church. You can do that, but what do? Then you limit the power that God has in your personal life, in your family, and in your church. But most important of all, you limit the power of the Holy Ghost to deal through you with lost sinners that are on their way. They're dying and on their way to hell, an eternal burning hell. If you've not been saved here this morning, you are on your way to hell. There's no way you can get around it. The Bible talking about that condemnation says that you are under condemnation if you've not. And where is it? In John 3:18, you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're under that condemnation. You're on your way to hell. We don't want to see anybody go to hell. Or anyone. I'm not sure which one is correct. But we don't want to see anyone go to hell. Yep. Yep.
And then that continues.
Yeah. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Harden not that heart. And that's what sin will do, folks. Sin will harden your heart. Sister Carol. And have you become desensitized to that thing? That's what it one because the devil dumbs you down spiritually too, folks. Hardens that heart is what, Brother Jeff?
I don't know if it's probably on John Wayne
Yeah. Yeah, that's another issue. Yeah, you don't have to have a television, folks. But now back to the thing of what television's doing. I talked about the NFL here a few weeks ago. You know that after I taught that particular one that the NFL come out with a commercial on the Pro Bowl where they made the statement, they were promoting the sodomite agenda, that love between two people is okay no matter whether they're the same gender or not. That's what they're putting in front of you. Got a question for you, and I've got to close. When are you going to give up on that stuff? And put it out and not allow it to any longer hinder your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's in your ball court. It's not mine. I can't make you do it. And the Holy Ghost won't make you do it. But if you won't do it, your fellowship, your relationship will be wrong with God. You know when the Holy Ghost shows up here, in these services, do you know what you're experiencing? You're experiencing the pure love of God when He shows up here. And when you offend that Holy Ghost because of sin in your life, you're hurting this congregation.
Amen.
That's as simple as it gets. So I thank y'all for listening this morning. I never did get into what I was going to, but God was in this, okay? And these are things that we need to, as teachers, pastors and everything, we need to talk about these things today.
Amen.
And we need to talk about them in a biblical context, not of what we want or anything else like that. But I thank y'all for listening this morning.